Catching you up on local news, Hurricane Isaias made landfall near Ocean Isle Beach around 11 o'clock last night, causing significant damage as it passed over the eastern part of the state. WRAL reporting a tornado in Bertie County left at least two dead. No major impacts in the triangle, but we are only just beginning the peak of hurricane season, so officials are warning residents to be prepared, knowing that we're in a pandemic too. 97.9 The Hill's Elk Harris reports.
Disasters won't stop. Even during a pandemic, hurricanes cause problems for people in coastal areas, but these storms can also cause damage hundreds of miles inland. Barry Porter is the Eastern North Carolina Regional CEO for the American Red Cross. He said the Red Cross has been working and providing their services throughout the pandemic, and that has taken a lot of procedural adjustments. This means educating their volunteers on what it will be like to work in a COVID environment, and who needs to be working with people face-to-face and who can provide services virtually. Porter said, while the Red Cross is trying to limit the number of congregate shelters they need because of coronavirus concerns, when it comes to large-scale events like hurricanes, more people are in need of a safe haven.
What we realize in a hurricane, because the scale of a hurricane and its geography is so important in terms of the number of people it will impact, and so it's impacting greater numbers than you might say a tornado in the Midwest that hits a one square mile area does severe damage, but isn't as widespread as a large-scale hurricane like Florence 2 years ago. So we know that we must still have those congregate shelters, meaning opening those, because people need to be safe. But when they do come, then is when we have to have the new protocols.
Porter said these new protocols include temperature checks, mask wearing, health screenings, sanitation stations, isolation areas, and reducing the number of people allowed in a single shelter, which means more shelters may be required now than in the past. He said the number of people that need a safe place is now even greater, as staying with family and friends might not be a viable option during the pandemic, and hotels might be far too expensive.
So we know in these large-scale events that we need to create non-congregate opportunities, as well as in what we're calling congregate sheltering. And that's the traditional, set up a lot of cots, set up feeding supplies, and put staff and volunteers in a school, in a church, in a gymnasium, and then have clients, evacuees, come to those locations to be safe out of harm's way from severe winds, from surf inundation, and from flooding.
Porter said once the Red Cross learned about COVID-19, they've been planning for these large-scale events, setting new protocols, gathering supplies, and training volunteers, especially as hurricane season loomed on the horizon.
So all of this is trying to prepare the best we can and then be flexible, especially in this COVID-19 environment where families come to us seeking shelter. We have to assure that our volunteers are safe and that the client coming to us and those other clients are also safe.
Porter said if the coronavirus pandemic had initially become widespread in July versus early March, the Red Cross wouldn't have had enough time to prepare and transition their protocols. And for that, he feels grateful. In their warehouse in the Triangle, the Red Cross has over 10,000 rolls of toilet paper, which is amazing. However, for those who want to donate, Porter said physical donations are not a priority right now, as the Red Cross is concerned about what they are taking in and who is touching supplies. Instead, he asked that the community donate to a charity, Red Cross or otherwise, whom they know is providing direct relief. The community is also encouraged to volunteer or donate blood if they're able. Porter said the Red Cross especially needs those who are able to work in a pandemic environment.
Just keeping in mind that as a volunteer organization, we too are learning, going through this process with everyone in our community. We want to be able to be the provider of a safe response, a safe place, a safe shelter should someone need it, and don't risk your life by staying somewhere unsafe if you can come to a shelter and be safer.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Elk Harris.
On campus, students are moving into the dorms this week as UNC's fall semester gets set to begin. Still a lot of pushback, though, about UNC's reopening plan. Daily Tar Heel reporting UNC housekeepers are still waiting for an official response to a two-week-old petition urging campus leaders to do more to guarantee safe working conditions. Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger has written a letter to UNC Provost Bob Bluen expressing concerns on behalf of the greater community. Among other things, she's asking UNC to partner more closely with the town done to establish clearer procedures for testing and enforcing violations, and to shift messaging to, quoting now, embrace one community thinking that promotes adherence to safety practices both on and off campus. And there's going to be a demonstration on campus tomorrow at 4 p.m. outside of South Building, urging UNC officials to switch plans to go entirely online for the fall semester. Organizers are calling it a die-in protest again tomorrow at 4 p.m. And in Chatham County, health officials are reaching out to people who may have attended a memorial gathering on Saturday, July 25th at Bondly Recreational Park, or a funeral on Monday the 27th at Emmaus Baptist Church in Pittsburgh. Multiple people who attended those events have tested positive for the virus. There is good news on the virus front, though. Case numbers and hospitalizations have been steadily declining in North Carolina for the last 5 days. Herald Sun reporting still more than 1,000 in the hospital with COVID-19, but that number is below 1,100 for the first time in over 2 weeks. Online arguments are set for today in the legal battle between Governor Roy Cooper and Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest. Forrest is arguing that Cooper's recent executive orders on COVID-19 exceeded his legal authority. The pandemic has also had a major economic impact, leaving many residents struggling to make ends meet. In Raleigh, Wake County has set aside $5 million in federal CARES Act funds to help residents pay overdue utility bills. The county will give up to $500 each to households in need. Officials say the money could help nearly 10,000 families. Meanwhile, officials across the state are working to recruit poll workers for the upcoming election. COVID-19 making this a challenge, too, because the state will need more poll workers than usual, and many regular workers can't staff the polls this time because they're in high-risk groups. The good news, though, ABC 11 reports most Triangle counties have already filled their spots, as a lot of residents have stepped up and applied for those positions. Durham County still needs more for Election Day, but Orange County is apparently covered. Former Carrboro Alderman Bethany Cheney said on Twitter this week that she applied to be a poll worker this year, only to find that the county already has a long waiting list. Local government's getting ready for the election, and they're also getting ready, going back to our top story, for the peak of hurricane season. I spoke about that last week with Carrboro Mayor Lydia LaBelle. Here's what she had to say about local preparedness.
Whenever we have a really, really heavy rainstorm, we always hear from certain places in town, you know, Carroll Street, some in Robert Hunt now, some like by parts of Bullen Creek, up by Broad. I mean, there are places in town, when it pours rain, we know that we're going to hear from folks about flooding, about, ponding, even about, kind of debris it brings up and brings out. And so, that's been part of our whole stormwater management effort that we've had seriously underway here for the last, 2 years, where we created the program, are collecting the fees, and have a steady list of projects that we're trying to work on to try to alleviate these long-term concerns. But we have gotten basically so that, our public works staff is well aware, whenever we know we have possible heavy rain coming, for example, from this hurricane that's probably going to give us some rain, they're already out there making sure that culverts and storm drains are clear of debris in order to reduce flooding. And they, of course, are urging folks that, have yards that they know can be prone to this, or culverts or pipes or areas that might be clogged up, to go ahead and make it, take a quick walk around the yard and check and kind of remove any loose debris, and actually probably should remove any loose kind of things that might fly about in case we have heavy winds or high water. But that kind of proactive work can help in some instances. But we do know that we have areas that will flood. And so, of course, on our town webpage, we have a, pretty accessible page that says, what to do if you experience flooding, to have online reporting to us so that if it is necessary for our folks to get out there to help to alleviate, we can do so. And then even if not, we want to be able to track these kind of things, because that's part of what we're doing with our new stormwater management program.
That is Carrboro Mayor Lydia LaBelle there. You can hear our full discussion in the Conversations with the Mayor section at theaaronkeckshow.com. And finally, business news. The new Graduate Chapel Hill Hotel on West Franklin Street is now officially open after a ribbon-cutting ceremony yesterday. The Graduate Chapel Hill used to be the Franklin Hotel. Earlier this year, it underwent a renovation and a rebranding. And just down the road, also on Franklin Street, the popular student bar He's Not Here is reopening as of today as a bottle shop, selling six packs of beer and cider to go, though they will have tables and benches set up just outside.